are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, November 28th, and 3-0 so far on the homestand. Hit him one time, Mason.
Detroit basketball!
That's right, we call in Mason Services every time the Pistons get the win, and we needed him from Tuesday night. That's right, this is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the After Dark edition of the Locked On Pistons podcast, as we're taping this late after I covered the game for the news. But I'm a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade, just like maybe a couple of you. I don't know, but who knows? Thanks for the listen. Appreciate that. Spread the word. As we always say, that's the way you pay us back here at the Locked On Pistons podcast for your free daily podcast and the best free daily podcast that there is out there about the Detroit Pistons. Confidently, we can say that. But today, we're going to be giving you all the details you need to know about the win by the Detroit Pistons against the New York Knicks on Tuesday night at Little Caesars Arena. We're also going to talk about the home crowd a little bit. Dwayne Casey and Blake Griffin had some thoughts in the post game. We're also going to hear from Tim Hardaway Sr. You remember Tim Hardaway, the killer crossover, run TMC. You know, the UTEP two-step, all that good stuff. He was there to check out his son against his former team, Hardaway, the former assistant coach for Stan Van Gundy and the Pistons. And I figure, you know, it's late. I want to get to sleep at some point tonight as we're taping this, to be honest, early on a Wednesday morning as the clock has struck and past midnight, and it's going to be a late one here for us. But I've got the sound bites from Tuesday night. We're going to use them, so we're just going to go with that for the edition today. But by the way, give me a follow on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. 2,900 Twitter followers, close to 3,000, so we just need 100 more of those, if my math is correct. Not a huge math whiz there, but and we're over 1,000 on the Locked On Pistons Twitter handle as well. We really appreciate you guys spreading the word, the retweets, the likes, all that good stuff too. Give us a follow on the, or a like on the Facebook page, Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. We got to get that up to 1,000 sometime as soon as possible. But like we said, Tuesday night, the Pistons topped the New York Knicks 115-108, the storied franchise from Manhattan, who is no longer the storied franchise from Manhattan. One of the jokes of the professional sports scene, Detroit Lion-esque, dare I say. But the Pistons moved to 11-7 with the victory, tying the high watermark for this team of over four games over 500. But obviously, this feels much different than 4-0 did earlier this season. Not only is it later in the season that you're four games over 500, but being four games over 500 at this point feels a little bit more significant because it's not just beating the Nets, the Bulls, the 76ers, and the Cavs like they did in the first four games. That wasn't really all that special. But to go 500 since that time, with a lot of tough games on the schedule and some cupcakes as well, but it feels like they're in a better place than they were even at 4-0, which is a good feeling for Pistons fans too back then. And it could turn into a nice little five-game cushion over 500 coming as the Chicago Bulls come into town on Friday, the lowly Bulls with a road game. And we'll talk about more about that game a little bit later in the week. But on Tuesday, Blake Griffin had 30 points, 12 of 16 from the free throw line. Stanley Johnson, an excellent game for him off the bench, 21 points. Reggie Jackson was great early, 17 points in the first half for kind of a listless Pistons team to give them an 8-point lead in the half with his strong contributions. Andre Drummond, if we're talking about negatives, though, had his more free throw problems, was 0 for 4 from the stripe, meaning he is 1 for 12 over the last two games if you throw in that 1 for 8 problem that he had on Sunday. 9 for 29 over the last four games, which is 31%. Obviously struggling quite a bit. Andre Drummond from the line. We will see how that transpires. If he can nip that in the bud as sooner rather than later, if that's going to be an ongoing problem, and if teams are going to be employing the Hackadre strategy more and more as the season goes on. Andre Drummond, not only that, he didn't score in the first half and only ended up with 6 points, which is a season low for Andre Drummond, only the second time this year that he was under double figures. Not great three-point shooting as well for the Pistons, 7 of 24 from threes. That's 29.2%. The fifth game this season that they had seven or fewer three-point makes. But the good news was the Pistons got to the line. They hit 32 of their free throws and missed 45 of them. Both of those were team highs for the Pistons, as the Knicks had Mario Hezonja, Noah Vonleh, and Mitchell Robinson all foul out. So a disaster of a front court performance for them. But to their credit, dealing with guys like Blake Griffin, who's really been on his game, as we know, watching this Pistons team. It's just a treat to watch him night in and night out. And I'm guessing opposing front courts are not enjoying it as much as we are here in Pistons land. But undrafted rookie Alonzo Trier out of Arizona, undrafted. I mean, unbelievable. I know he had the character issues down there in the desert, but he had 24 points to lead the Knicks, a guy that looks much better than Mitchell Robinson, who was a second-round pick, and even Kevin Knox, the lottery pick for the New York Knicks, who still projects as a very good player, and certainly no one's, you know, turning the page on Kevin Knox, but not a guy who looks like he's ready for prime time quite yet, but again, shows a lot of potential. And really, when you talk about the competitive calendar for the New York Knicks and Scott Perry in that front office, they're probably looking at a few years away from being that. So maybe Kevin Knox becomes the player that they're looking for, you know, just as Kristaps Porzingis is back and gets himself ready, and maybe a Kevin Durant type or someone, a monster type of free agent might come in there and think that they're going to save basketball in Gotham or something like that. And we'll see if those things ever come to fruition. But not a lot to like so far, even from Kevin Knox, who was kind of the darling of summer league and had the good preseason and all that. But a big play late in the game for Trier, who was, like I said, had 24 points for the team high for the New York Knicks. The Knicks had, I already went with the start writing in honor of Rod Beard. He'll be back soon for the Detroit News to cover the team. Never fear. Big fans of Rod Beard. I know there's a lot of you guys out there. But I did the start writing hashtag in honor of Rod, and with up 16 with like about 4 minutes left, felt pretty good about it. But the Knicks go on an 8-0 run right after I said that, and we're down by, I believe, 7, and had a chance to cut the lead down to 5 as Trier was taking the ball down the lane. This is in the final minute, and still the Pistons probably even win at that point. But Stanley Johnson comes from behind for the block right in front of us there, covering the game on the baseline in the expensive seats. But Stanley Johnson makes the block before crashing into a baseline cameraman. Alonzo Trier kind of pouts and stomps like a kid, really upset right away after that. And you could see why. This looked like it should have been maybe a goaltending call with the naked eye. And the refs got together, called it goaltending. So they put the points on the board. Knicks are down 5 with just, like I said, about 49 seconds or so to go. But then they went to the review and saw that, yeah, the ball was still on the cylinder, over the cylinder. But since Trier was still holding the ball and still was touching the ball at that point, it seems like it would be fair game because it's technically not going down yet if it's still in his possession. So I believe that's what the call that was made. Maybe you guys that watched the telecast have a better explanation. A lot of things going on there, so it was maybe a little bit tougher to know exactly what the call was. But they called it not goaltending. The lead back to 7, ball game there at that point. Tim Hardaway Jr. for the Knicks added 19 points. Damian Dotson, 17 points. Who's that? I don't know, but he played really well. Enes Kanter, 16 points and 14 rebounds for the Knicks, moved to 7-15. So we will see what happens with the Knicks going forward. You would suspect that even though they had that nice 3-game winning streak coming into the game, that I would imagine that they're probably going to slide a little bit here, as that's kind of how those things go, up and down with those young teams. And that is a very young team, by the way. We talked about Tim Hardaway Jr. from Michigan, Trey Burke from Michigan. Those guys are, you know, entering the primes of their basketball careers, one might think, as 27, 26-year-olds. But those guys are the elder statesmen on this team. I mean, you got Lance Thomas on the bench who doesn't play at all. And I know Enes Kanter has been around for a little bit. But most of these guys, I mean, we're talking about Dotson. We're talking about Kevin Knox, who's not just a rookie, but he's a very young rookie. Same can be said about Mitchell Robinson, Alonzo Trier. I mean, these are just young, young players all over the place. You got Frankie Ntilikina, however you pronounce that, Frankie Smokes, like they call him. That guy had a nightmare of a stat line. I think he played about 14 minutes. Didn't record any positive stats, just had the 3 fouls, a couple missed field goals, including a big missed 12-footer wide open that could have been a little bit more helpful to the comeback that the Knicks were trying to put together. Just a disaster of an offensive player right now. I know he plays pretty good defense, but it seems like that was kind of a blown lottery pick by the Knicks as well. But one more game where the Pistons will be heavy favorites coming up against the Chicago Bulls before Saturday's home game against the Golden State. That starts a run of murderer's row for the Pistons after that. I think the first 10 games in December, they've got 9 playoff teams where they're going to be taking on tough teams in that one. But up next, we're going to be talking about the home court of the Little Caesars Arena. I have some thoughts on it, and so does Blake Griffin and Dwayne Casey. But as we've talked about ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice, and usually it's what team to bet on this week. Who's hot? What matchups are in your favor? The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. If you've been listening to this podcast long enough, you already knew that. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys. They are your best bet this season. Haven't heard anyone say a bad word about them, and myself included. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend this service if it's been good to me, and it has. So that's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They've got the in-game betting, the live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for all you fantasy football guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how your fantasy players are going to do. Basketball, all sorts of great prop bets. Where are the free agents going to go next year? Lay that down and just check how the summer unfolds. You know, long-term range bets, who's going to win the NBA championship, all that stuff. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
Yes, sir!
We need to consistently, you know, be good and give them a reason to show up to games, but like I said, after that Houston game, I mean, when we have a great crowd, it's night and day. I mean, the energy in the arena, just coming out for warm-ups, the start of games, you know, other teams feel that as well. So, you know, whatever we can do to get fans here. But like I said, we have to give them a product that they can be proud of. This is a fan base that I think holds or has high standards. And we need to meet those.
Blake Griffin after Tuesday's game talking about meeting the high standards of the Detroit Pistons fans and the Detroit sports fans in general. I got to tell you, it's been, you know, about 11 months or so that or 10 months ago that the Pistons traded for Blake Griffin. And I don't know how you guys feel, but obviously on the court, I think he's living up to and surpassing maybe the expectations that the average fan would have had about Blake Griffin. But just this way he talks, the way he says all the right things, and obviously this is a guy who's been through a lot of media, a lot of media training too. I would imagine someone who's been in the public spotlight and on and off the court in terms of the endorsements and the celebrity relationships he's been in, all that stuff. So he's probably not seen there probably isn't a lot of scenarios that he hasn't seen. Certainly things within the Detroit media are within the realm of things he can handle quite deftly. But you saw the Los Angeles Times article. We saw Mark Stein of the New York Times. Coast to coast, they're doing stories about how Blake Griffin enjoys it here in Detroit. And just the guy is doing the right things and saying all the right things so far as an ambassador for the Detroit Pistons. But again, the fans did not show up on Tuesday night. I tweeted about this early in the game, and this was kind of my first time being at a Pistons game at Little Caesars Arena where it was one of these crowds. I've covered games this year against the Boston Celtics on a Saturday night. The Philadelphia 76ers coming in here early in the season was at the game on Black Friday against the Houston Rockets. Maybe the best crowd they've had probably all season in terms of energy and how loud it was, especially given that it was a good, entertaining game going down to overtime and all that good stuff. And then the last year, the only game I went to at Little Caesars Arena was the an early season game against the Philadelphia 76ers. So it was like, you know, the second or third home game in Pistons history at Little Caesars Arena. So decent crowd, not like a really great crowd or anything like that, but better than certainly some of these crowds that we saw on Sunday when I watched on television against the Phoenix Suns. And then tonight against the New York Knicks on Tuesday night at Little Caesars Arena. I just like saying Little Caesars Arena sometimes. I know I say it over and over again sometimes, but yeah, I'm sure you're used to it now if you're a regular listener. But it's tough. I mean, you could see how it'd be very easy to play in front of all those people. Assuming it's not your first time playing in front of all those people, I think you or I going up there in front of all those people would be pretty tough. But after you get used to that, if you're not a rookie in his first few games, it's got to be pretty easy to play in front of all those fans. And then it's got to be maybe kind of tough when you can hear it's funny hearing the hecklers. I heard a guy saying, bring on Mello, you know, so those kind of chants. Like the single people just yelling things is really funny. And a lot of it's really knowledgeable people saying things. And then there's the bring on Mello kind of chant. And then, you know, sometimes when the crowd is wanting a foul against the other team for the Pistons, and it's, you look on the scoreboard, and it was obviously not the right, or it was obviously the correct call, and the fans are just kind of whining. And we see that in every arena, but it's pretty awkward in there. It's got to be tough to play, and you notice it. I mean, you notice that the Pistons don't have their energy, and we're not going to sit here and plead with the fans to come out, or if you're a listener, to grab a couple of buddies and get to a game sometime soon. You can do whatever you want with your own money, but it's just interesting to see how this energy will energize this team, and lack of it will be a problem and be a hindrance for the team as they try to get out to some decent starts like they didn't have at the beginning of the season. Blake Griffin has talked about it in the locker room after some of the good games with the big crowd, and after some of the bad games with the lack of the crowd. And we just played the soundbite there for you. And Dwayne Casey talked about how, again, a guy who's trying to do the same thing he kind of did in Toronto with building a culture. And I know that he had a much lesser team in Toronto when he took over and took it to heights that were pretty good, pretty damn good, depending on who you're talking to. And maybe Masai Ujiri disagrees with that, apparently, but took them to the number one seed and a team that reached the second round and always had problems with LeBron James, even went to the Eastern Conference Finals one year. So, you know, had a lot of success, but it was a little bit of a long journey to get there. And the Pistons aren't that long of a journey. It seems like they're kind of a middle of the road NBA team that hopefully needs a couple breaks to go their way, a couple players to develop, maybe a couple moves in store before they get to where they want to go. But it's just interesting to see that it's almost like the culture is just like it was in Toronto, you know, around the team, around the city, and stuff like that. So we will see how Dwayne Casey does with that. Again, this is a guy who, just like Griffin, just like his best player, has said and done all the right things so far. And I wanted to play another clip for you guys of Dwayne Casey in the post-game press conference answering actually my question about how tough it is. We've talked about with them how easy it is to play in front of the fans. How tough is it to play when there's no fans in a dead atmosphere? So here's Coach Casey on that.
Well, we notice, but again, I understand we have to prove to our fans that who we are and what we are, and make sure they are trusting to spend their hard-earned money. I do know that if you're a basketball fan, we do play a brand of basketball that is a winning brand. We're not a finished product, and if you're a true fan, you know, let's come out and support us, because we play in some arenas that are very hot. But I understand, and I tell our players all the time, if we want the fans here, we got to go out and earn it. We got to earn their trust. Same way we had to do in Toronto. You could hear me talk in Toronto too when I first got there. But again, you got to develop those winning habits, and it can be done. And we're going to do it here.
And of course, fitting to have Ben Wallace courtside, center court, the owner seats there with his Grand Rapids Drive hat on. He is a part owner of the Grand Rapids Drive team. Play the whistle for him. Play the whistle for, and I thought it was kind of poetry at first because of the free throws that Andre Drummond was missing. I was like, oh, maybe this is like a little bit of an ode to Ben Wallace. But maybe the way that Dwayne Casey and the way that Blake Griffin are talking about instilling the hard work and the success of the team to endear themselves to the fan base, maybe that was the symbolism that I was missing at first with Ben Wallace being courtside. And hopefully we'll get Ben Wallace on the podcast sometime soon. That would be kind of a thrill for you guys and myself as well. But up next, we're going to be talking about the New York Knicks a little bit more. Tim Hardaway Jr. and Trey Burke in town. And I caught up with Tim Hardaway Sr. before the game and talked to him about his future and what he thinks about how his son's breakout season is going with the New York Knicks. That'll be up next here on the Locked On Pistons Podcast Network, your team every day. All right, and I caught up with Tim Hardaway Sr. before Tuesday night's game. So here's an interview with the former Pistons assistant coach and also the father of Tim Hardaway Jr., the breakout star this year for the New York Knicks.
What do you think about the season that your son's having right now?
I'm happy for him. He's having a good season. Uh-huh. You know, he's playing well. He's being a lead out there on the court. He's you know, helping these young guys to understand how to play and trying to win late games.
I've been reading that you've been around the world, it seems like, kind of promoting the NBA. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been around the world promoting the NBA, talking about, you know, the NBA to different countries, and making sure they understand, you know, to just keep watching us. We appreciate you all watching us, and we we're here to help y'all to understand how we play.
What do you think about the Pistons so far this year and how they've been doing?
Like I say, if they stay healthy, like if Reggie didn't go down last year, we could have been fifth or sixth in our conference. And, you know, probably had a first round here at the house. But, you know, unfortunately he hurt his ankle, and that was that hurt us pretty bad. And we have no other playmakers to go to that can make plays like Reggie. Stay healthy, keep playing the same way. You know, I think they're doing well.
Yeah.
To me, you know, I think they're doing very well. And they playing hard. That's the main thing.
Staying in close touch with a lot of the players that you're close with over the years.
Yeah, you know what? I hit them up when, I hit them up and say what's up to them, good game, you know, or if they played a bad game, shake that off, don't worry about it. Y'all going to be all right, but you know, stay confident, you know, something like that. Yeah, but I don't get into, or I might tell Ish, you know, shoot your first shot instead of pump faking. Other than that, no, I just, you know, say good game, or, you know, happy for you all.
And you say you're still living in the area, though?
Oh, yeah, I still live on West Bloomfield. Yeah.
What's up? Do you want to get in maybe front office?
Yeah, I'm trying to get in the front office. You know, I want to do. I'm good with putting teams together. I know talent.
Yeah.
I know who can play and who can't play. You know, I've been doing that all my life, putting teams together and making teams work. So I know that about that aspect of the game. That's why I'm trying to get in the front office, GM. Yeah. Player development, something in front office, yeah.
And that was Tim Hardaway Sr., the former assistant coach for the Detroit Pistons for 4 years under Stan Van Gundy. Thanks to him for taking the time to talk to us before the game on Tuesday. But that will do it here for the Locked on Pistons podcast. Give me a follow, by the way, on Twitter. Please do at @Matt_Shook, @SCHOCH _ after that. Also the Locked on Pistons Twitter account. We really appreciate that. Check out my bookie. You know where to find them. Use promo code LOCKEDON $1 for $1. Gives us a little bit of juice here at the podcast as well. We really appreciate your help. Send us leads on the advertisers. Send us listeners from your friends and family. Share all the stuff on social media. We really appreciate you guys. I had a lot of fun covering these games over the last week or so. I'll be back in the house on Friday night for the Detroit News. Looking forward to spending a lot of time down at Little Caesars Arena, also the practice facility, with your guys' help. That's right. We need you to spread the word and keep this thing going so we can give you all the coverage that you deserve here on the Locked on Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.